I don't like this business of preaching to fans.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
You know anything else about soccer?
Not much. All I know is I got a lot of balls.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the stadium watching a game on TV. It's just the guy's not good enough. The guy is just not good enough.
Simon, I don't know if you're big into New Year's resolutions, but, you know, wondering if maybe you pledged to come out of your shell a little bit in 2015.
Kind of pisses me off, to be honest.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 94 and MLSsoccer.com. I'm Andrew Wiebe. With me, Simon Borg, David Goss. You drop the music on me so quickly, Dave. I want that little vibe as I'm coming in, and I just feel like it's lost.
I feel like it makes you sound really smooth, and I'm trying to avoid that.
Okay. Get that background vocals. All right.
He's supposed to be your friend, this guy.
I know, he is.
Simon got really upset because one time he found out.
And it
talked.
Is Simon.
I know, you guys are best buddies. It's okay. That's okay.
But I could text you on the weekends.
Keep an eye out, Andrew.
Simon,
can come out at any moment with David Goss.
It was kind of like with you there. You immediately jumped in and you were just stirring that pot. I mean, it extends past MLS. It extends to our friendships here in the office. Look, we've got a big show for you today, no matter what pots are getting stirred here. Perry Kitchen, DC United, he'll be on with us in the first segment. We're going to have Brian Sciarretta.
Where else to stir a pot than in the kitchen?
Oh, that goes along with I told him we should ask him if he ever asked to take PKs, just so at the end of the game it can say PK and in parentheses say PK.
Yeah, I shut that one down immediately. Simon is having trouble.
Like, over my head.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Wow, I don't know.
People are hitting rewind on their podcast right now.
No, they're all wondering how that got over your head. Brian Sciarretta on in the second segment with us. American Soccer Now. Follow his work. You may remember he helped hook us up with Jack Stepanowski, Nepal head coach, who, by the way, was honored at the Red Bull New York City FC game. So
it was awesome.
Do you call it honored, though?
I mean, he was brought down on the field, and he had the Nepal jersey with him, which was
not
cool.
Honored.
Bigger picture here, you can still donate, redcross.org. They still need money out there.
Cristiano Ronaldo just donated $8 million.
He did. That was pretty – I think 8 million euros even. Pretty incredible from Cristiano.
What is that money? What would that money be equivalent into in your world? So his 8 million is equivalent
like,
to what
like
of yours, David?
Oh, like my
yeah, my, your money. What would your what his like 8 million are equal to?
37 cents. I don't know.
A slice of the dollar pizza place. That's what I'm putting out there for me. But look, he's been doing some good work with the U20s. Of course, Gideon Zilalem, he has now been cleared to play for the U.S. I'll pause
Woo-hoo!
Now, for the screaming, But we'll talk to Brian about all that. A quick reminder before we jump into it, SiriusXM listeners, and you're now at 1 p.m., not noon, 1 p.m. on Tuesday and Friday, so tune in us. Then 11 p.m. is Soccer Morning with Jason Davis, so that's some good stuff for you as well. Look, let's start with Steven Gerrard. Let's start with what everybody's talking about this morning, and it's a quote from Gerrard as he goes through the media parade, the exit parade out of Liverpool, and the quote that people are getting riled up about is this: "It's a great challenge. It's a good time. I'm coming up to my 35th birthday, and it's a good chance for me to go and enjoy a couple years of my life with less pressure and spend more time with my family." This is what Gerrard said in reference to the opportunity with the Galaxy.
You didn't attempt the Liverpool accent there.
I didn't. No, that would have been a mistake. but a lot of people are getting riled up about this, saying, hey, look, he's not taking this seriously. Yeah, this is another retirement DP coming to MLS. Before I voice my opinions, I want to hear what Simon has to think.
What an overreaction by everyone. That's what I think. I think when he says that phrase, I want less what was the exact phrase again?
It's not I want less pressure. He's going to enjoy a couple years of his life with less pressure.
With less pressure. I think what he is referring to there is not that he's not going to give it his all on the field and not that there isn't pressure to win games, because there is. He's coming on a big contract. Mm-hmm. He has to deliver. The eyes will be on him. But he will be able to live a life that is different from Liverpool's life, the life in Liverpool, especially of a guy who grew up in Liverpool, and he's a kid from that area, and now is in the biggest spotlight of any player, of any person in Liverpool. So, I mean, he said the words, "I'm going to enjoy my family." Why does he have to say that? I mean, he sees his family in England. The travel times are a lot less than they're going to be in MLS. He can't enjoy his family in England, in his hometown. He feels he can enjoy them here. It's because of the media. It's because of his position in that society. So in Liverpool, he has the biggest spotlight of them all. In LA, it's not necessarily going to be that way. But it has nothing to do with how dedicated he's going to be on the field. So I think people are taking this out of context because they would like to get outraged and they want to get outraged. Go ahead, Andrew. Get outraged.
There were jaws dropping, Mr. Borg dropping in at the last second. You'll find out what that means. I'm just wondering if Simon like hacked into my computer here and stole my crib notes on exactly what I was going to say. Because, look, anywhere other than Liverpool is less pressure for Steven Gerrard.
Absolutely.
Anywhere. It could be Real Madrid and it is less pressure for him. So for people to get riled up over this, this is just people that want to have a reason to be mad about the whole, you know, he's 35.
They like to get outraged.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
well, listen, because I'm outraged. I'm not, but I just wanted to see if I could get Simon's head to whip. I think people are maybe getting a little bit confused between pressure and how hard he's going to work, and maybe that's why people are upset, is that him saying there's going to be less pressure means he has to push. He doesn't have to push himself as hard, which isn't true, and that's not what fans want to hear. You guys are looking at it from his media, what he has to do outside. But wouldn't an LA Galaxy fan say, well, when you come here, we want you pounding the pavement. We want you on TV. We want you to be a media darling. We want you even on TMZ to be popular.
And by the way, you got to travel to New York. You got to travel to New England. You got all these day trips.
But there's a difference between pounding the pavement on the media circuit, which I'm sure he will do on arrival, and being on the front of tabloids in which they make claims about your life, in which they blow up instances at nightclubs, in which every little thing about your life is parsed and then interpreted as to how that's going to affect you on the field. Look, I think this is a throwaway comment, and it's not a reason to get angry about. Let's see what happens when he gets here. I'm sure that Steven Gerrard is going to give it his full effort. Let's turn to what actually happened in MLS on Wednesday. Not some quote. It's DC United continuing to move to the top of the league. They're now first in MLS. They're over the 2-point per game threshold after 10. They've got 21 points. It's been a banner start so far. It didn't look like it would continue at RFK on Wednesday night. Orlando took a 1-0 lead. Kyle Larin got the scoring going. A very, very nice finish from him. Really instinctive there at the top of the 18. Just
beautiful
finish.
A shift from the left
to the right. A great finish. But DC does what they do, and they came back in the second half. Kofi Opari and Chris Rawl finishing this thing off and making it 2-1. In the 10 minutes between the 70th and the 80th. And then the ETR curse struck. Aurelien Collin, hamstring. I hope Perry is going to be okay going on this Sunday. We may not mention with him because that's bad form. But your take from this
game. I did have a dream. It's weird. I had a dream that an MLS player, and I'm not going to say who it was.
Good.
Snapped his leg, and I saw it. It was such a graphic dream. It's a guy who is top 10 player in the league.
Was it RJ Allen?
Could be. We know who to blame if catastrophe strikes here in MLS.
I'll definitely know if it was that player if it ever happens.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's easy. If something happens, you take the credit for it. I see how that goes. So thoughts on this game, guys. DC goes deep. Rolf didn't start this match. Farfan gets in. Korb didn't start. No Fabian Espindola. Silva only plays 45 minutes. I mean, this team's deep, and they just get results.
Not much happened in that first half, except for Orlando obviously taking the lead. Orlando, the story around Orlando, I think, is going to be the same, is that Kaká is not doing enough. I don't think he's carrying his weight here. He's not carrying the load, and he should. And then you have the DPs on the bench between Roches and Rivas, and that continues to be a head-scratcher. Look, they're still trying to find themselves now that Molino, who played such a big part for them, is out of the picture. And then the Collin injury didn't help. So Orlando, a team still very much in finding itself. And then for DC, they just stick with it. No?
No.
And then they have the players who make plays.
Chris Rolf being the player who's making all the plays right now. I mean, this guy is he's top of the league as far as creative attacking players go.
Yeah, and I brought up to you that if maybe he's fit last year that they're able to get through in that playoff series. I think that was a big part of it. And then he's come in this year and he hasn't really missed a beat. Coming off the bench in this game and then instantly just getting in there and making things happen. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. And you have to talk about him this summer and over the next few summers with national team. Maybe he's not a player for the future, but if he's producing now – and you have tournaments coming up, why isn't he in the conversation?
You know who I'm going to compare, like a sport-to-sport comparison I'm going to make on Rolf? Vlad Guerrero, who was like a notorious bad ball hitter. I feel like Chris Rolf is a guy that takes situations where, like, you can't get a foot on that. You can't put that on frame. Technically, this should be impossible. You shouldn't even try to shoot this. And he puts it, like, upper 90. You saw that play a couple, like, 2 weeks ago, the volley play where he reaches out and, like, kind of hop, skips, and jumps and puts it off the post. He kind of did that on his goal today. He's the Flash. Perry Kitchen is the steal, and we have Perry on the phone right now. You can follow him on Twitter, at PerryKitchen23, or you can listen to him right now. Perry, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good here. I mean, I think this is a big week for you. You got two games. Lucky for you, the schedule works out that you're going to be there for another big moment, which I hear is your wife's graduation. Can you give us the details on that? What's going on this week?
Yeah, she's graduating from George Mason University, so pretty big moment for us, obviously for her. So we're really excited about it.
What's the major, and more importantly, what did you go out and get for the graduation present? How are you commemorating this memorable moment?
Yeah, so her major is business administration, so obviously you can do a ton of things with that. And the gift, I actually got it for her a month ago. It was a new laptop, so she needed one. That was kind of the big gift I got for her.
Well, that she'll certainly appreciate. Let's turn to DC United. Another win for you guys last night. You keep racking them up. Top of MLS right now. More than 2 points a game. That's kind of a hallowed mark in MLS. And yet, for whatever reason, the idea of luck has been associated with this team. From your perspective, how do you think that narrative got started? And it's something that stuck with you guys. Ben Olsen's discussed it multiple times.
I'm not sure. We don't really look into that kind of thing. We're focused on what we can do, what we can control, and I think we have a great squad, and we're getting the results that we need to get. We don't look into any of that.
Perry, let me help you out. Andrew was one of those.
I was just about to.
Admit oh, okay, good. Because yeah, I thought you were going to get away with it.
I've taken it back now, but I had thought that at one point. What is it about this team, though, that maybe when some of these conventional stats don't always go your way, it doesn't matter. You guys always get results. What's the underlying current here?
Yeah, I mean, I think bottom line, we're a team that tries and finds a way to win. And that's kind of been, how since I've been at DC United, how it's been. And we have a great group of guys, like I said. And we can, grind it out. It could be ugly. We can, obviously play good football at times. So, we just do whatever it takes to get the result we need.
Perry, this group strikes me as one that's just ridiculously competitive. And I covered Kansas City back when Davey Arnault was there. And he always made an impact on me in training because Davey's the most competitive person I've ever seen when it comes to things that matter. Absolutely not at all. What are the things that this team is like really competitive about that have nothing to do with soccer, for instance?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, table tennis for one. We get in the locker room, it gets pretty heated. It's just to name one, but yeah, I mean, it's a competitive group of guys. Nobody wants to lose in anything they do, and I think that's definitely a good characteristic.
Perry, when you guys are talking in the locker room there, what do you think it's going to take for DC United to get their due nationally?
I mean, like I said, we just have to control what we can control. We're not worried about anything like that. The results will speak for themselves, and hopefully people will catch on. But if not, we can't worry about that.
But do you feel that the team is disrespected?
I mean, no. To be honest, I don't really read many articles about how we're doing or whatnot. So I guess I can't relate to what you guys are talking about, but no, we can't worry about that regardless.
Just experiencing it on the field. You've seen both the highs and the lows, Perry. 2013, the lows for DC United. Now you guys are right there at the top of the league. I'm more curious about what in your personal life changes when you're winning as opposed to losing. Does the food taste better? Is the weather feel better? I mean, I have to imagine that changes just your mood and the way you feel on a daily basis.
Certainly. I mean, when you're winning, obviously everything is a little better. Everything, tastes a little sweeter. But yeah, nobody ever wants to lose, especially when you're losing, week after week. It, it piles up on you and it, kind of makes your days miserable, especially for, a competitive group like the one that we have. So winning certainly helps in every aspect.
Perry, we hear a lot of cliches in sports, a winning culture, creating a winning culture. Since you've tasted both sides of this, what is the key ingredient to having that winning culture?
I mean, I don't think you can pinpoint it on one thing, but it's, you know, it's the mentality. It's the mentality within the group that you're going to go out and do whatever it takes to win. And when everybody can buy into that system and everybody can show that determination, that competitive drive on the field, you know, you'll start to find yourself winning games, and that builds confidence within a group. You know, that can ignite your season and lead you to good things.
Perry, taking it back to MLS a little bit, you guys are top in the league right now. When a team's like that, everyone starts talking about who are the MVP candidates, who are the leaders. Who would you say from your team right now this season so far would be the leader, you think, for an MVP conversation?
Aside from yourself.
unless you want to say yourself.
No, not at all. I would go with Chris Rolfe. I think he's been fantastic this year. I think he's you know, had a foot in on most of the goals that we've scored this year, whether it's obviously scoring himself or getting an assist. You know, I think last night especially, he came on, you know, 25 minutes, and I think he changed the game. So I think if he can continue that pace, we'll definitely be in the conversation.
Now, you're a goal scorer now too, Perry. I mean, don't leave yourself out here. You're getting them against the Red Bulls. You got 5 last year. Where did this come from? Has that always been in you? You just didn't get that kind of responsibility to push forward and get in the attack?
No, I mean, I think it's just another, you know, developing, you know, another part of my game. I think, especially in a, you know, defensive midfield, you know, center midfield role, if you're able to get, you know, 5 goals, 5 assists a year, I think that's a, you know, solid year on the attacking front. It's just something I'm continually trying to develop, and, you know, I think it's come along for sure.
Now, on the other side, you're now in the U.S. camp, and they're looking at you as I'm not quite sure, actually, what Klinsmann exactly wants you to do out there. You were listed as a defender on one of those rosters. You played some midfield. What did Jurgen tell you when you were in with the U.S.? What is your understanding of what they're looking for in a player like you?
Number 6, I mean, similar to Beckerman, holding mid, keep, you know, everything in line, and, you know, be able to start to build up into the attack and, you know, get passes forward. That's definitely what he wants out of me.
Perry, you said you talked to Jurgen Klinsmann about what he expects from you on the field, but off the field he's talked consistently about wanting players to test themselves in Europe, to push themselves in Europe. We've heard some rumors about you, your contract up at the end of the season. What are you looking for after this season in terms professionally of where you want to play?
You know, just the best fit for me. Certainly there's a ton of options. I'm very happy at DC and how they've treated me in the past. So, you know, I'm not worried about that at this moment. Just, you know, staying focused on the season and doing what I can to help the team.
Perry, when do you hope to resolve this? Is this something where maybe you want to begin discussions with whatever parties during the season? Is it something for the end of the season?
I mean, those are obviously ongoing. But like I said, that's what good old agents are for. And I'm not focused on that right now. I'm just controlling what I can.
But for the fans listening, DC United is still an option for you to remain here in MLS with the club?
Certainly, yeah. If the situation's right, absolutely.
Now, Perry, the reason people are talking about you like this and the reason that you have interest is the way that you've not only progressed, but your start with U.S. soccer and in college with Akron and even before that in Indianapolis. I look at you and I see a 23-year-old guy with 130-some MLS starts. And I start to think, man, is this like a prototype in some ways for player development in this country, the path that you took? What do you think maybe the pitfalls and the strengths of that path for you were? And what would you advise a kid that was in your situation? You know, maybe some kid in Indianapolis is asking you, hey, how should I do this? What would you tell them?
Well, first I would say, you know, every situation is different. I think, you know, right out of high school, right out of college, some guys are, you know, ready to go straight over to Europe and make that jump. You know, that's up to them. For me, I felt, you know, it was best to, you know, kind of stay in a familiar, you know, area and, you know, get some games under my belt and, you know, try to progress from there. I don't think there's one way, you know, one way to do it. Everybody, you know, obviously feels different ways about certain environments, certain teams. So, yeah, there's no one way to answer that question.
Perry, Andrew was referencing the question about development. It was interesting. Reports, at least, say that you had an offer from Europe. You had Anderlecht in Belgium after you, before you joined MLS, and you had a decision there to make. What were maybe the teams that were after you at that time, and how did you get to your decision to go to the draft and stay with DC?
I mean, just like any other decision, it was a process. You know, feeling everything out, and ultimately it was just the right decision to, you know, stay here, get drafted by DC United. It's a great opportunity, and, you know, just go with it. Like I said, it's, you can make the best of any situation that you're in. You know, you just got to get on the field and prove yourself. That's what I'm trying to do.
Now you got another game this week. It's a double game week for those fantasy fans out there. It's Philadelphia at PPL Park, 7 p.m. on Sunday. Fox Sports 1, Fox Deportes. For those of you out there that want to watch Perry and DC go at it, Philly having a frustrating season. They're having a season that maybe, I don't know that it harkens back to 2013 and what you guys went through, but it just seems like everything is going against them. I have to imagine that when you were on the other end, you saw what other teams tried to do to you guys. How can you take lessons from that? Is there anything that as a team, when you see a team down on their luck, that you think, this is how we take care of business? This is how we go in and exert and show them what we're about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's certainly not a fun situation to be in, you know, but we have to go out and, you know, try to do what we can and not let them, you know, gain any confidence. You know, it seems like they're down on themselves right now. So we just have to go out and, you know, try to get a good result, because they are a good team and they can, you know, they can beat us if we're not sharp.
Perry, I know we're getting you after practice and you're getting comfy on the sofa about to watch some Europa League soccer, you said. Are you a soccer head through and through? Like, are you consuming games on a daily basis?
Daily, I wouldn't go daily basis, but definitely, you know, a few a week anyway. You know, if it's on, I'm definitely, you know, watching for pleasure and knowledge as well. So, yeah, I think if you want to be a top player, you have to, you know, watch the best and learn from the best.
How do you watch the games, Perry? Like, do you focus in on one player, maybe a player who plays your position, or do you just take the game in for entertainment? How do you watch games?
Yeah, both for sure. I'm always paying attention to the guys that are in my role or a similar role, but also, you know, looking at the other guys too. There's, you know, watching Barcelona's, there's always, you know, you can't just watch one guy. You got to watch the whole team and see how the whole concept works. So yeah, I'm always analyzing everybody and how they play their role.
And how about your position? Who's the player that you like to watch who plays yours?
I mean, I like to watch a few guys. I like to watch Cruz at Madrid, Alonso at Bayern, Busquets as well. I think he does very well in that role for Barca. So those are just to name a few.
Last one before we get you out of here, Perry. You're watching the Europa League here, but you mentioned to us that you and your wife have some Netflix binges going down, maybe after graduation more so. I want to know what's the one show that you don't go tell your buddies that you guys watch.
The one show.
Yeah, the one that you just kind of keep on the down low, but you kind of enjoy it. You know, there's some enjoyment there.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know. I don't want to embarrass myself.
Of course you do.
I'll say, what's it called? Orange is the New Black is probably that show. She really enjoys it, but yeah, it's kind of embarrassing for me to like it, but
that's critically acclaimed, man. That's big time.
What's your type of series, Perry?
Breaking Bad is obviously great. I like Dexter, even though that's kind of creepy if people don't, if they understand the, you know, what he does.
What's the one on your schedule that you want to get to?
Suits. I've heard that's pretty good. Yeah, so we might start that one up here soon.
This is pretty much just Simon trying to.
I'm trying to get ideas.
Yeah, he's trying to steal your ideas here, Perry. Anyway, people can watch Perry, not Netflix, not any of this other stuff, not Europa League. Perry and DC United, Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern. As I said, Fox Sports 1, Fox Deportes, MLS Live in Canada. Good luck, man. Congratulations on the season so far. Hopefully it only gets better for you guys.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
We mentioned that DC game. Orlando also in action on Sunday. They will host LA. 5 p.m. Eastern, ESPN2. Watch both of those on Soccer Sunday. The midweek action didn't stop with DC in Orlando, though. The Canadian Championship was going down. Toronto FC continue to not be able to buy a break. They win 3-2 against the Impact, but Damo Duro's late goal pushes the Impact through. They just know how to squeak through in these knockout stage competitions.
On away goals.
Yeah, they'll be in the final of the Voyagers Cup. On the other side of the bracket, you may remember that Edmonton, I kind of went a little bit Canadian there, Edmonton got snowed out. Well, they played the first game in Vancouver. Vancouver almost lost this. Gershon Kofi getting a late one, but that away goal will really benefit Edmonton as they go home. We'll see what happens there. The U.S. Open Cup also going on, Dave, and you ventured out into
Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, God knows where to take it in. It was very cold, I expect.
It was very cold, which was unexpected. What was the game? The Jersey Express defeated New York Greek Americans, who have won the trophy four times
in their history. Two great names. 3-0.
Yeah, Jersey Express in yellow and green shirts, predominantly Brazilian team. So it was fun to watch. There wasn't that
many
big
fans.
There wasn't that big a crowd out
there. How many? Give me a number.
Between 30 and 50, I'd say. Most wearing the associated with one of the two clubs. Next week, the Jersey Express hosts New York Red Bulls, too, on Wednesday night. So hopefully that will draw a bigger crowd. And there are some interesting or fun matchups coming up next week.
Yeah, that's the third round. USL teams, MLS affiliates, you know, Toronto FC 2, Red Bulls 2, those types will enter then. You can find all the coverage right here on MLSsoccer.com. When we come back, we're going to look over the whole slate from the weekend and talk to Brian Shiretta, Gideon Zelalem. He's going to be in red, white, and blue.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at MLSsoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is Nat Borchers, defender for the Portland Timbers. This is Extra Time Radio, where I have beef with Simon Borg.
Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys Simon Borg, David Goss. I am Andrew Wiebe. Into some MLS action here. We'll get to Viernes de Fútbol, the doubleheader on Friday night at Univision Deportes. That's New York City FC hosting the Fire, Dallas hosting the New York Red Bulls. But first, someone's headed back to South America this week in MLS, and David is just, he's all riled up about the Hernan Grana situation in Columbus. Headed back to Argentina, apparently homesick. His family was back there, so that's understandable. They're going to turn to somebody else. So probably maybe Chris Cloutier, maybe Hector Jimenez. We'll have to see which one's which. Fantasy owners certainly care about that. But, David, I'm more interested in what is the time you've felt most homesick in your life?
Excellent question.
Oh, good question. I wasn't a big camp person as a kid. My parents made me go.
Was the creepy crawlies? You were a lonely?
Maybe I was just lonely. I don't know. I grew up in a family where everyone met at camp and got married at camp and loves camp, and I just didn't like it. But then once I got older, I just wanted to move away as much as humanly possible.
Okay. So when were you most –
when I was at camp as a kid.
How did you deal?
Probably by, like, getting in trouble and getting myself
– crying in the shower.
Potentially
okay.
kicked
Simon,
out of camp.
What's the most homesick you've ever been?
It was also a camp.
I went for one day.
I nearly got myself drowned, and it worked.
That's homesickness for you,
you
almost drowning?
You should have given me that advice.
That's it? That's all you got?
What kind that was the worst. Okay. Of course. Yeah. No, but aside from that, no.
I guess you
must have a story.
I'm not a child in my story. It was just when I moved to New York City. You leave your family and friends. There was a period where I just was a little homesick. It wasn't like a big thing. I got over it, but
I've had culture shock more than I think I've had being homesick. Like specifically,
right?
How'd you get culture shock?
Well, you just like you're when you're somewhere else and you start living somewhere else and things are just that little bit different, and you have that moment where you're like, for example, you're at the underground in London at 12:30 trying to get to your bus and it's closed, and you don't understand the concept of closing public transportation in a major city around the world, and you start yelling at a police officer because you don't understand that the whole thing is closed. You just think the one stop is closed because you're from New York City.
He's embellishing a little,
and that's how David learned what a nightstick was. moving on, Viernes de Fútbol, as I mentioned, New York City FC, Chicago. New York City FC are at rock bottom. Now what? This game's at 7 p.m. You can watch it on UDN. What do they do now? I mean, how do you pull yourself out of this mess? Like, does rock bottom go even deeper? Is there a deeper misery point for this team, Simon?
I mean, it's going to be interesting. How do you approach a game now that you are struggling this bad?
As a result at home? Is that what you're going for?
I mean, you clearly don't want to give this Chicago team room to break, because if New York's attitude is, let's go at them, we're going to get this first goal. We've played well at home in the past. We just haven't been scoring. Throw numbers forward. They're going to pay for it, because Chicago is going to make them pay for it. But
haven't we seen RSL over the past few weeks realize that they don't have to push play all the time, that they don't have to be the one who's the aggressor all the time? And if NYCFC comes out into
when?
A game.
When have we seen that?
This is
Jason Christ's RSL?
No. I'm saying over this season, Jeff Kassar's RSL. Because
why are we bringing them up?
Because Jason Christ wants to dominate the ball, and that's what they've done over the past five games, and they haven't won. So maybe if you come into a game, you sit back a little bit and allow yourselves to try and hit the opposing team on the counter, you might be able to get yourself a result.
Wadwopoku has to start. Bottom line, that's what has to happen.
The Wadwopoku train starts out and ends with Simon. He's the engineer.
Choo-choo!
Anyway, look, Mixed Discrew did say today that maybe he's been trying to do too much, so maybe that'll help him out. The second game of the night, this might be the best game of the weekend, bar none. Dallas hosting the Red Bulls, 9 p.m. Eastern, two of the best teams in the league. Two of the best teams in the league on the counter as well. You can also go on the dribble. Fabian Castillo against Lloyd Sam. Blas Perez against BWP. You got the poachers. I'm not sure that the Red Bulls have an equivalent for Mauro Diaz. He is the magical unicorn, as Matt Doyle says. Who has more to gain in this one? Who can prove more in this match?
Oh, clearly the Red Bulls. Because I think Dallas, we accept them as they're going to have a stinker every now and then. They're going to get big wins most of the time. The Red Bulls, to me, they're on this run where they're on the cusp of, I think we take them seriously now. I do, for sure. But I think if you go to Dallas and win and beat that Dallas team with Mauro Diaz and with Fabian Castillo, I think it continues to cement your spot as a real contender this year. The question is, will they do it by their high press? Jesse Marsh says they're not going away from that high press. They're going to pressure. I think Diaz, Castillo, they can get out of that pressure.
And I'm going to say the opposite of him, because what he said was, you heard him saying, I think everyone has agreed, you take the New York Red Bulls for real. So they're already there. FC Dallas, to me, doesn't have a keynote win yet this season. They beat LA last game, but it's an LA team that's not at their best. They didn't beat Seattle when they played them, and I don't think they've beaten a top team in the league. They are a top team.
And what's the Red Bulls' top big signature win?
But why have you already...
Hold on. Answer the question.
They beat DC United, and you said that they beat Columbus Crew as well on the road, I believe. This is off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they
did. So they did. I know that. So, but you said you already have, like, people are already thinking about them as
Simon
they're in that top class. Yes, they've won 2-1.
You didn't hear the radiator here, so I think we've got to trust him on this. Yeah, I mean, look, I agree. Red Bull have more to gain. But I think ceiling right now, I think that FC Dallas have it. The problem is their center backs are a little bit questionable. So we'll see how they deal with that one. A bunch of other games on Saturday, but the one we're going to start with is Cascadia. Vancouver hosting the Seattle Sounders, 7 p.m. TSN 1 MLS Live. I want you guys to guess. Regular season matchups last 2 years. What's the record between these two teams?
Can you give us the total number of how many times they've played?
Six, yeah.
I'd say it's
Vancouver... Three wins for Vancouver, one win for Seattle, two draws.
I was going to say something similar.
4-1 and 1 Vancouver, which wow. surprised me.
Well, they won Cascadia Cup 2 years ago.
They did. Yeah, they did. But look, and the Mane has been a monster against the Sounders. But I'm looking at Evans and Marshall probably against, if I'm Robinson, Rivero, Morales, Maddox, and Mane. And that's a nightmare scenario for Seattle, right? I mean, they don't have the, you know, Mears can keep up. Remick can on the left side, but they don't have the guys to keep up. And we saw what the Crew did last week. They finished their chances. Could this be more of the same? Could Vancouver come and run them off the field up at BC Place?
I think so. I think Pedro Morales plays his best games there. And I think when you go at we saw it with Columbus. Yep. Columbus is in the back of my mind. We saw it against Columbus, where Columbus threw so many numbers at Seattle, and they didn't know where to pick up guys. So Vancouver will do the same. Well, you mentioned all the names. Those will be in your face. Can Seattle manage? I think we've seen already the proof of that.
I think just the one thing with Seattle, which we always come back to, is even in that game against Columbus where they took it at them and controlled, they only lost by one goal because of Oba, because of Dempsey. And I think the same. I think Vancouver is going to come out and control them, but they just always have that potential to win a game, even if you could say, quote-unquote, they don't deserve
it. Yeah, game changers there for certain for Siggy Schmidt. The other game we'll run through here, New England hosting TFC, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. Sportsnet 360 for those of you in Canada. MLS Live, of course, south of that border. This one's interesting because it has a lot of different components to it. Of course, Bradley on Jones, maybe more like a midfield defense battle, but hopefully they're both in the middle of the park. Lee Wynn is a guy that we're going to talk about, though, to go into this game, and I'm going to make a contention. and that is that New England are better off with Lee Wynn not scoring 18 goals, in a season. Probably more like 8. That would be a nice return this season. It's because it opens up things for the rest of these guys. I think last year they were maybe a little too reliant on him. They had to push him to that second striker role. They needed him around the box. He had to be the guy in a lot of cases to finish to get them out of that slump and push them into the playoffs and eventually MLS Cup. This year, there's 6 guys. And Lee Wynn can sit back and he can be a facilitator rather than a creator and a finisher, but he can also do those 2 other things. It's just not required for them to have success.
It's not required, but I do believe, and we said this at one point last year, that he was at one point operating way too far from the penalty box. When he's closer to the penalty area, that's where he does the most damage. His vision, his ability to score, and I don't think he's getting in those positions as much.
You know, maybe
because
reason.
The game is stretched
well,
a little bit.
Well, maybe because Jermaine Jones is not in the midfield to cover all that ground. No offense to Andy
Dorman.
You still have Andy Dorman.
Yeah,
you do, and you have Caldwell, and they do a very, very fine job, but it's not the same as Jermaine Jones, I don't think. So maybe that's a difference. Let's shift gears here. We've talked about getting Zalalem on this show an awful lot. We finally got word from Sunil Gulati. He is eligible to suit up for the U.S. men's national team.
Simon Borg already anointed him best player ever.
The 21st player on Todd Ramos's U-20 World Cup roster. How excited are you, Simon? Are you giddy right now?
Not as much as Dave is.
Simon, does he get his own train, or does Kwadwopoku have the only train, and he's just a caboose on the end?
Look, we saw Zalalem for 20 minutes? Who's watched Zalalem play? Have you?
Best 20 minutes of my life.
I mean, it was
a great 20 minutes.
I've watched
I've watched some great YouTube clips of all his touches in youth FA Cup games.
He looks like a phenomenal passer, but you have to question this. You bring this kid into this camp, it's having a guy come in at the very last minute.
If you're
going to
say that, I think that's a complete overstatement, and I think he's journalists and fans and everybody, we all get on that tip. I don't think players care. They know it's competitive. They know there's a chance it could get cut. They know that the coach is going to take the best players he can, and they want to have the best players around them. They want to have the best chance to succeed in New Zealand. So
it's
why
also
you
a
be
U-20
cool
World Cup. It's not a full World Cup.
Right.
And if you look at the changeover, DeSavio Pena just showed up
as well.
We'll
talk to Brian Schroeder about him.
You have guys that just show up. The U-20, I think, is much different than the full national
team.
But
this is Zalalem.
Which is when I agree with you.
A big name.
Oh, now it's one name.
Uh-huh. No, it's a big name. We've been hearing about him a lot. Players on that team, just psychologically, you look at this kid and you're like, okay, well, big shot's coming in now. It changes the chemistry on the team. It's just an interesting dynamic how it turns out. I'm sure Zalalem is a good kid. I'm sure they'll integrate him somehow. Tab Ramos is to me a player's coach, so he'll find a way to make it work. But it's interesting that they bring him at the last minute. That's all.
Look, if he scores a great goal, I'm gonna call him Dragon Ball Z from now on.
I was going ZZ Top.
ZZ Top.
He's not gonna score goals though.
You don't think so? Maybe he gets one. He scored some for Arsenal. Look, let's talk to Brian Schroeder about this. American Soccer Now. Work also at the New York Times and Howler Magazine. Follow him on Twitter, Brian Schroeder, Schroeder. Brian, what's up, man?
Very good, Andrew. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're glad to have you. And you come in on a conversation about Gideon Zalalem and what happens now that he's officially able to suit up for the U.S. But we didn't really talk about how he would actually be played. And I'm assuming he'll play with the U-20s. Give us a little bit of a look ahead to the World Cup with Gideon.
Well, you know, it's going to be very interesting how he fits into this team. And the big question I have coming out, which I'll discuss also in further detail in a piece I have coming out for American Soccer Now, but is how is Tab Ramos going to use Gideon Zalalem? And a big thing is, you know, his role right now in kind of like the center attacking midfield, you know, box to box role is being taken right now by Emerson Hyman, who's a little bit more experienced, older, and knows his team a lot better than Gideon does. So how does Gideon play together with Emerson, being the fact that you probably got to play Gideon at this point because, you know, Tab Ramos and Jurgen Klinsmann have both made a big deal, particularly Jurgen has made a big deal about getting Gideon in with U.S. soccer for now over a year. So, he's kind of in a position where he almost has to play, and you really can't take out Emerson. So how do you use those guys in the context of a 4-4-2 without, you know, putting one guy out wide where they're not usually used? And being the fact that neither of them are defensive midfielders, so you have to have either Russell Knuth, Kellen Acosta, Marky Delgado in back of them. You know, so you're starting to run out of midfield spots for these guys centrally. So, it's going to be really interesting to see how they fit in. And Todd has indicated that he wants to use the 4-4-2. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how those it's kind of like a high risk, high reward. I mean, if Emerson and Gedeon have great chemistry on the field, the team can go a long way. If they kind of run into each other and don't know how to play off of each other, maybe the team could look a little bit lost at times too, and there's really not much time to integrate these two.
Now, two guys that used to be in this pool are no longer. Will Packwood and Sebastian Leggett, they're now supposedly on their way back to MLS. We know Leggett is. We do not know for sure yet about Packwood, although reports are that he'll trial with New England. Your take on these two guys, I know you've talked to him a good number over the years. A lot of my insight, I'm sure, I got from your articles. What do you make of all this?
Well, I think Will is a guy who had a really quick upward trajectory, and then a couple of years ago he had a horrible broken leg surgery. He came back inside of the year, started doing things. I don't know exactly if you could ever say he was completely the same, although the fact that he was back on the field again after that was remarkable. I mean, he could play right back. He's naturally a center back. What I like about him is a smooth passer out of the back, even if he's not physically the strongest. I mean, if you remember when he was on the U-17 World Cup team back in 2009, he's a defensive midfielder. I mean, so he's not quick, but he can cover some ground, and he's a great passer. So I think that, he's still very young. He's in the Olympic pool. So I think that there is definitely some value there. Sebastian Leggett's thrown out of U.S. youth national teams, and unfortunately for him, he was just stuck at West Ham, and he could never get out of the reserve team circuit, even though occasionally flirted with the first team, made the bench for a couple of premiership appearances. I think, he's a good player, very good passer. Maybe foot speed, I think, was a little bit of concern in the Premier League, and why he didn't make that transition. I know he wanted to go out on loan, but West Ham really wouldn't send him. But I think he's going to do well under Bruce. I mean, if you see guys like Bozio Husetic, go to Europe, not necessarily to make the most of themselves, and then even with foot speed, but then we're able to come to the Galaxy and do good things. I mean, I think Sebastian's probably a little bit more above guys like Baggio. So I think you're going to see some guys. You're going to see a guy like Sebastian do well for the Galaxy, particularly Bruce. Bruce works very well with young players.
Brian, so Sebastian's done. If Packwood happens, that's two fewer Americans abroad. I'm curious, when you look at the scene for Americans in Europe, who is the best player right now out there? And is there one specifically that you're looking for in terms of movement or potential, transfers this coming summer?
Well, I think two different questions. Obviously, I think that the best player right now is Fabian Johnson, and I don't think he's going anywhere. If you look at what he's done for Borussia Mönchengladbach this year, it's been remarkable. Now, he struggled for playing time in the beginning of the season, but since the winter break, he's been a starter for this team. And guess what? They have not lost in 14 league games that he started for Mönchengladbach. They could finish as high as second place in the Bundesliga. They have, so far since the winter break, they have wins over Leverkusen, they have wins over Wolfsburg, and they have a win over Bayern Munich away. So they, and Fabian started all of those games. So it's, what he's doing right now and the level he's playing at and the club he's playing for really puts him in rare form as to what any American has ever done in Europe, especially in a league like the Bundesliga. It's really remarkable to see. He's blossomed into a great, midfielder right now. So, I don't think that he's going anywhere, but we're going to see him in the Champions League group stages unless a disaster hits. And, so that's the best player. In terms of movement, there's a few guys who could be on the move right now. I think, Alejandro Bedoya is one. There's getting some interest right now. He's kind of been a good player for not in League One. And what I like about him is he can play, he can help a team out either out wide or centrally. He works hard. He's a leader. He's got a great mentality. So I think, he could be a guy that could be on an upward move. Another guy who might have to move out of necessity is Brad Guzan. His starting spot at Aston Villa is not a lock right now. So, he's obviously has a lot of starts, and he's done some great things in the Premier League. So he could be on the move as well, too. There's certainly a bunch of guys right now that you have to kind of keep track of and see where they're going. And a bunch of guys, obviously, in the Championship have done very good things with their club, too. So when they've been healthy, is Eric Lehigh, Danny Williams, you know, Tim Ream. These are all guys who, you know, who are very highly rated by their club, maybe even more so than they are with the national team. So those are guys I'm definitely keeping an eye on right now.
Now, Bob Bradley, everyone should be keeping an eye on. There's certainly some patriotic stuff going on there with him, and he is absolutely killing it at Staubach. I mean, this is something I don't think anybody could have seen. Maybe Bob would have seen it, but predictions saying that Staubach would not be certainly nowhere close where they are, which is top of the league almost. What's up with Bob, and could he be on the move? If he does, where would you predict that he would have an opportunity to go?
That's a great question. You know, it'd be interesting to see if he can remove that American stigma to him in terms of coaching. I mean, the American-born and raised coaches have not had much success in Europe, have not had any success. Well, right now he has Staubach, which was only promoted 2 years ago, and, you know, everyone was kind of hoping for a mid-table finish this year. They haven't conceded a goal in over six games. They haven't conceded, I mean, that's 555 minutes that it's been since they've conceded a goal. So six straight clean sheet victories for Staubach. They're punching way above their weight. And if you look at like guys like Cole Grossman, who was in MLS, I mean, you know, he's a role player in MLS. Now he's a very good player for Staubach. Bob is getting everything out of his talent. You know, and when you see guys like Ole Gunnar, you know, obviously he had some success with Manchester United's reserve team as a coach after he was done playing. And I don't think Bob is going to go to the Premier League. But, you know, they look at Norway for tactical minds like that, too. So, you know, I don't think he's going to go to a major league by any stretch, but it wouldn't surprise me if he goes to a league, you know, that's a step up. You know, there's been rumors sometimes of a Danish Superliga in the past. You know, those are unsubstantiated, but that's about a nice level for him, that Belgium. You know, I think that he would be looking for a step up. He's in the last year of his contract at Staubach. And, you know, it's a smaller club. I mean, I don't really think that they have it within their means to contend for a title or do anything in Europe if they get there. So the fact that Bob's really having them, you know, punch above their weight and do what could be possibly be expected out of them, you know, even among the most optimistic fans, he's reaching their potential. So I think that, you know, he's certainly going to have options. You know, whether or not he leaves in the middle of the season, you know, or at the end of the season, remains to be seen. But what he's doing right now in Staubach is a great feel-good story, and he's among the best American performers in Europe, even as a coach right now.
Well, if you care about American broads, you should be following Brian Schroeder, reading his work, American Soccer Now, New York Times, Howler, at Brian Schroeder on Twitter. Brian, thanks so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. We'll stay tuned as U20 World Cup comes calling.
Thank you very much for having me on, Andrew.
Thanks, Brian.
Good stuff, as always, from Brian there. Follow him on Twitter. Read his work. Let us know what you think of Gideon Zilalem or any of this Americans Abroad stuff. At Extra Time Radio, extratime@mlssoccer.com. When we come back, Dr. Simon and Mr. Borg?
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hi, this is Owen Coyle of the Houston Dynamo, and you're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Back now on Extra Time Radio, Simon Borg, David Goss, Andrew Wiebe here in the studio, and you can hear it right there, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Only in these parts, it is Dr. Simon and Mr. Borg.
What's this all about, guys?
Yeah, you kind of have a monster vibe to your appearance.
J.C. Cowden emails in, and he says that there is a Dr. Simon and a Mr. Borg boiled down for you. He says he's not the only one who's noticed. Simon has two distinct modes/moods on ETR. The civil, thoughtful, and frankly charming Dr. Simon, most often heard when he is stepping in to host in Andrew's absence, although occasionally spotted at other times throughout the year. And the annoyed and often annoying, angry Mr. Borg, who is impulsive, gruff, and unreasonable.
I'm going to tweet out a Mr. Borg photo. like mid transformation here here in a little bit. So check the ETR account.
I hope you put context to that. I don't just walk around doing that.
No, there's no context needed.
Walk around doing that.
My mom actually has diagnosed this. She's told me this for a long time, that when you host, you lose some of your trademark verve. And
so she likes the
she likes Mr. Borg. Yeah.
She likes the animal.
Do you
not
feel
the man.
This? Do you does the adrenaline just pump just a little bit less?
It does feel different. You feel a responsibility as a host. I mean, don't you feel it?
A little bit, yeah.
You got to guide the show.
Keep it on the tracks.
Well, let's talk about the tracks. The tracks that we have on this show. Last show we started with the New York Derby. Is that what we're calling it? The Hudson River Derby, whatever it is.
No, we're not calling it anything. It's New York. It's the New York rivalry.
The Empire
shall be named later.
Whatever. And we came in and we talked about NYCFC for a thorough amount of time.
Yeah, we did.
And we talked about the winning New York Red Bulls for a lot less. And so New York Red
Bulls. You guys did.
Dr. Simon or Mr. Borg, we weren't sure at the time, stepped in and saved us, but we got a fair amount of angry emails from Red Bulls fans, so let's read some of them. Victoria McCabe wants to know, now, will we have a Red Bull supporter on ETR to ask about their crosstown rivalry in the run-up to the rematch? Will we have a Red Bulls player or any sort of Red Bulls presence to give a preview? Will our next Derby recap be so one-sided that Simon once again has to step in and save us? And will Andrew continue to welcome guests to talk about the next Derby? Will he ask them about the NYCFC game rather than the New York game?
We will have a Red Bulls guest. We'll go ahead and guarantee that right now. I wasn't aware that I was doing that, but I can stop doing that if that was a habit that I've gotten into. We shortchanged him a little bit, but you have to admit, of the two stories right now, which is more compelling? It's NYCFC. I'm sorry, Red Bulls fans. I love what you're doing. I think the team is great. But as far as just strictly stories and conversation goes, I still think that NYCFC is more interesting right now.
Well, to respond to that, Jim Nelson in South Sioux Falls, Nebraska, I believe. Who's
Did I just
tee
Jim
fan?
Up?
Yeah. Who's he sticking
he's
up
gonna
for?
Just, he's going to knock me out of the park now?
He says that we are homers and that this rivalry means nothing to anyone outside of New York. The only thing we forgot to mention on Monday was how much bigger it was than the Super Bowl. He's happy we finally got our little rivalry. He stuck around for a few minutes into the second half, thinking the red card might add some excitement, but it remained mind-numbingly boring. And Mark Jansen also steps up from, I believe, Salem, Massachusetts.
Before we get there, can I just establish that when Simon was calling it, like, the best event of all time, and, you know, he had, like, 90 minutes of goosebumps, Dave and I were looking at him like he was crazy.
But
were you looking at me like
but
I was crazy?
But in fairness, me and Simon both, after the New York City NYCFC home opener, did say it was better than the Super Bowl or whatever event.
Did you?
Not really, but look,
I thought I was the only sane one around these parts.
I have context. I mean, I've been around MLS events.
And I haven't.
Since 96.
Okay, that's true.
I mean,
but you didn't even go to this game. You weren't even there.
No, but I've seen enough MLS to know what is a major event.
But in this case,
blows all of them out the water.
Since you only watched on TV, couldn't anyone that's watched any MLS event on TV have the same viewpoint that you had in this game?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyone been around since 96?
I'm sure a lot. Let us know, folks who've watched TV
Simon
since
Borg, 20 years in the making.
Uh-huh. All
but right. Now let's go to what's important. Let's talk Farbies or let's talk Furbies.
Right, is it a Farby or a Furby? I think this is important. Which way do we go? I mean, the Britishism of it would be Farby, and I kind of like Farby. It sounds good. You have the far. Or if we're gonna go to American, it'd be a Furby. But then it was
like Derby.
But then it's like a Furby, like in those annoying animals that your younger sister had that you hid under the couch back in the day, so you didn't have to listen to it anymore.
If it's the play on words, you got to go Farby.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Are we settled there? Is that all it's going to take? Is Dr. Simon going to?
So what's your ruling?
You've
got to
stop
Simon?
Doing that with your eyes, by the way.
The allergies are killing me. They're killing me.
Okay.
I think we go far because Furby, no one would ever get that. People
okay.
would understand
so
Farby.
Let's see what people have to say. We got some great recommendations of what's the best ever MLS.
Farby. L.A. New York.
We've got L.A. New York. But more importantly, we got L.A. Seattle was a big one that we got. Daniel West threw that one in there. We got Brimstone Cup. We got SKC Houston.
I mean, pretty much everything is a Farby other than New York and the old Chivas Galaxy one. I mean, correct? Because there's all a lot of distance there.
Well, I don't know Philly, New York, or Philly DC or New York DC is that far. Really? It's actually in that line of thinking, we have a great comment here from Will, and he says that he thinks there should be a term Carbies.
Carbies, what's that?
For Philly, DC, New York, New England, Chicago, Columbus matches, which
so
are
Brimstone
close
Cup would count under
drive.
A Carby.
Farby is anything you gotta hop on a plane for.
Right. And a Carby you have to be able to do in how much time? Is it just one day? Because that, you know, that changes things. You can go Chicago to KC in one day.
Or it's drivable without having to wear diapers.
Okay. I actually like that. I think that's good. So that's pretty much like it's like 3 hours or less, really. Yeah.
And we have two, I thought, good shouts for Farbies before we move on to Carbies. We have one from Gauss on Twitter who says DCLA is the oldest one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how we forgot about that one.
And then another one from Justin who says Whitecaps FC Dallas is a Farby in the making.
Yeah, no, it for sure is. I think that could be a really great Farby. I mean, they play three times this year, I hope.
I mean, because they
got some beef, you know, heading back to the playoffs last year. That could be a great Farby. You got the Diaz guys, you get Castillo, and then all the talent up there in Vancouver. I mean, that could be an explosive Farby.
You have the head coach, Pareja, and the assistant.
I forgot about that. They've got some real –
the Whitecaps assistant.
There's some real juice to that
Farby.
Got into
each other's face.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying Farby, if you can't tell. I'm going to try to make it part of my day-to-day vernacular. Anyway, great show from you guys here today. Thanks so much. Thanks to our guest, Perry Kitchen. He helps you out there if you need to know what to watch on TV, apparently, as well as Brian Sciarretta. He is the man to go to for American Exports News. That's it for us this week. We'll be back around on Monday. See you around next time.